I will say it right away.
December 15th, it's Sunday morning.
So there's not a microphone.
Go ahead and lead us in those prayers.
Okay. Oh, Heavenly Father,
yes,
come before you this day. It's a little nippy, cold out, but we're here. And Lord, no matter how many or how few, we know your Spirit can be present with us. We ask that you would be, that you'd guide us in the truth, and that you would lift up those that have a prayer request. Charlie's got a cold coming on. We just rebuke that cold virus
yes.
in the name of Jesus. And we ask you, Lord, to lift any start of that. And for Jesse, has pneumonia. And we ask you to just clear that up, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lift them up before you and ask for a powerful healing, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Be with Corky while he's gone. And now, Lord, just let your anointing be upon this gathering in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, last Tuesday night, and
Charlotte,
we think we had this was taped. We're not sure.
I don't know. I have no way of knowing. I'm going to lean towards no.
Huh?
I'm going to lean towards we did it. But now I know. Now this is recording for sure.
Okay. But anyway, we were talking about a lot about a scripture verse in James, where it talked about Elias, I think you called him, but it's the same thing, and that he was a man of like passions, and that he had, like the rest of us, you know, he had his, he would have his fears, and he would have his great time, and his lower time, and whatever else, and we see some of his, the things that he went through, and the truth of the matter is, there's only one man that ever lived that did not have like passions. Otherwise, it's common to all of us, and we can only stay on top of the mountain so long before we slide off. You know what I mean? And so it's an important thing that we understand that. And I was thinking this morning, God wants us to be righteous, and there are two people that Jesus told about that stood out and they prayed. And the Pharisee said, he says, I thank you, God, as a Father, that I'm not like other men. And the thing is, was he different than other men? And yes, he was, in his own mind. And the things he prayed, were they truth? Were they accurate? I'm thinking they probably were. You know, he was praying things that was part of his personality. And another publican, I think those were the two, he couldn't even lift up his eyes towards heaven. And he said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And was he? We all are. That's why if we look at the scriptures, we're not going to get to a place at any point where we're beyond sin or above sin. And that's why we have, otherwise the scriptures wouldn't make allowance. And, you know, the there would be no reason for repentance for everybody. But there is. It says that God said that he all men would come to repentance. Well, that's repentance has to do with the acknowledgement of the weakness and the sin that we have. And the Bible says, if the righteous scarcely be saved. And I realized this morning a little bit more about what has talked about. The righteous man, the truly righteous person, is not that Pharisee that says, I thank you, Father, that I'm not like other men. The righteous one is like the one that says, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. And the righteous, you know, that are scarcely saved are going to be humble and broken and contrite right to the end of their life. You know, God is doing a real major thing in this church, in a handful of people. And the thing that really blesses me is the fact that we're getting very open about our faults, our weaknesses, that we're praying for them, and we're not exalting ourselves. And as soon as we exalt ourselves, we're in trouble. And that's what that Pharisee did. And so the righteous are scarcely saved based on the fact that they're always in a repentance position. Is that what I'm saying?
I was looking for a scripture this morning. I had to have Bubble and Candy fight it for me. But it's in, it actually says the same thing back in Isaiah. Do you remember where?
In the one you were looking for?
Yeah.
Was it Romans 9:14?
Yeah, but Romans 20, 20. 9:22, I think, or 21.
Okay, so where you are.
But there's one back in Isaiah that this comes from.
Well, it should give you in Romans, doesn't it say after the scripture where it comes from?
The one that, pardon?
Doesn't it say in Romans where it came from?
I think there's two places. One of them will be Isaiah 29:16, and then it says there's another one, like Isaiah 64:8.
Okay. Here is a scripture that takes some understanding. I mean, God has to give us some understanding here. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it? Yeah, a lot of people don't believe that God formed it. You know, we're just kind of, I don't know what we are. A little amoeba off the bottom of the ocean, or... So anyway... In verse 21, has not the potter power over the clay of the same lump, to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Using the same format, flesh. You know, he can make one this way and make one that way. And so, the thing that... it's hard for us to understand. It's like, well, God wants me to change. God wants me to change. I need to understand so I can change. And the thing is, we can't change by understanding. We have to put ourselves in God's hands in such a way that God can change us. It's not, I'm not capable of changing. I'm just capable of submitting to God so He can... He can reform the lump of clay. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. And that's a mystery. So, churchianity, church as such,
they have their Bible studies on how to become better and how to be changed and what you can do. And if you just did this, if you just did that, if you did something else. And the thing is, I realized one day it's basically useless. Because we don't have the ability to become what God wants. All we can do is let God do it in us. I don't know, you understand what I'm saying? I can't. I went to the Promise Keepers, and I heard the things that they were said and so forth, and they were good. The men were basically the problems in life, and the women were good, and the men were the problem. And what we needed to do is shape up. You know what? I kind of bought it. It sounded good. But the thing is, it isn't that the men were the problem. It's we're all a problem. You know? Anyways, kind of left us hanging, but that's where I'm at. I'm hanging.
Well, it says it's not there for depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy.
Yeah, there you go.
Did you read that earlier in Romans there?
That's in Romans, yeah. Romans 9:14 on.
Yeah.
But it talks about the twins Esau and Jacob, and the one I hated and the one I loved, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends upon God's mercy.
Yeah, 16. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, "For this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens."
It kind of puts us in a different position, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Depending on him.
Well, lately, as I've been praying, I have come to the realization that God is the only one that knows. The Bible says we don't know how to pray as we ought. God is the only one that really knows that what needs to happen in every life, including ours. So here I am. Of course we have to pray. Paul said, he prayed with his spirit, he prayed with his understanding, and so God wants us to pray with our understanding. But the thing is, don't expect God to answer our understanding. Because we may not have very good understanding. So we can be praying for God to do certain things, and God will do the best thing. Because he knows what is the best. So when it says, "Thy will be done," the truth is, it will be done. Whether we ask it to be done or not done, it's going to be done. Because otherwise, God couldn't have a prophet that could predict and tell exactly what's going to happen at some point ahead of time. That would be subject to change. And God is not subject to change. But you follow what I'm saying? It is going to happen according to his will.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes what happens in our lives.
It's kind of out of context, but I was reading further on and kind of chuckle at.
Yeah, and right now I bet my mind is running blank on me.
Well, it says, "But who are you, a human being, to talk back to God?" Oh, okay.
You know, where I kind of, I like the, I was reading in there too, what if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? So, you know, he could, there's a lot of them that are due for destruction, but he holds off because he's showing, you know, his power when he wants to use it and on who he wants to use it. And then he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had prepared beforehand for glory, even as even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. As he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living God. You know, I. And then the next setting of Isaiah is about the number of, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved. For he will finish the work of showing righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon him. So he shows his mercy by enduring with much, you know, long suffering the vessels of wrath. So he holds off condemning a lot of people, you know, because it's his mercy when he wants to. I mean, they're at the place where I'm sure they could be condemned, but he waits, you know, holds off.
Kind of like the parable of the, I don't know if it's a fig tree or not, but hey, this tree is not giving any fruit. Let's just throw it into the fire. He says, wait, hold on, let's just dig around, let's fertilize it, and wait. You know, let's see if it gives fruit.
Yeah.
So then you got this tree that looks lifeless, you know.
Yeah, it is. It's entirely his will.
The thing that is amazing is, as we listen to the scriptures, how much different the picture becomes than what we have learned through church.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same picture. And when the voice spoke to me and said, if you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. Well, I would have never dreamed, you know, 20 years ago, that we would be understanding a lot of the things that we're beginning to understand. And it's not that we're 100% accurate, because we're not. But the understanding is getting better and better and better. And one of the things that, you know, that's is so amazing is that we're beginning to let God do things His way. It's going to be done His way anyway, but He wants us to accept that. You know what I mean? When everything is done, it will be Him that does it. And when it says in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, it says that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. It is the creature means that God is creating that man. And so that's what we're talking about here in Romans 9. We're chunks of clay that God is molding into what He wants. And that's the thing that I have begun to realize. I pray that. I said, Lord, I don't know what You want me to be. You know what You want. I want to accept whatever it is that You make. And God's going to do some wonderful things, but if He does signs and wonders and miracles, that's immaterial. That's not what life is. If He does good, whatever God does is good.
we have to get to a place where we accept it. And there's a lot of things within me that I'd like to see, that I'd like to see change, but you know what? My confidence in the Lord is changing and bringing me to a place where whatever He does, I'm going to be happy with it.
You know, we used to always give us the thought of the church, you know, well, we need that next revival. That's what's going to bring us into glory. Or we need the Spirit, or we need deliverance, or we need a love movement. And you know, when He spoke to you and then you presented that, it took a while. But all of us, finally, I came to the realization there is one thing that is the answer. And it's this Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, it was like, what could be more than the Word of God?
Right.
I mean, there is nothing. And especially, you know, and then when we did start listening, then He keeps confirming that by showing the truth that is there that's not seen by most, and the insight that He starts giving, and then He starts molding us to this, what you just said, where you're happy with whatever He wants to make of you. That's the ultimate, you know. I mean, then you're His servant, you know.
Do you know anybody like that?
No.
I do. You do too.
I know people that are on their way to that.
No, I'm a little foolish here, but Christ is the one that did that. That's who He was.
Yes, yes.
That's who He was. When he says, if you continue in my word, and I thought, what do you mean your word? He said, I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. I have a commandment, and that's what I do. And so how does He call it His word? But you know what? If He has no other word, it is His word.
Yeah. Well, I think He's saying His word is God's word.
Yeah.
He's made it His word.
And that can happen for us the same way.
Yeah. He said, I don't judge you. With the words that I speak to.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute. That don't make sense. At least for a while it don't make sense. It's starting to make sense. And I thought, you know what? On the day of judgment, the Catholic doctrine is not going to judge anybody.
Yeah.
Neither is our doctrines. He says, I don't judge you, but this word does. So the words that we're reading right now that we're taking into our system, that is the basis for judgment on the day of judgment.
See, and if you don't discover this word, you don't get, in a sense, see, we need to be judged.
Yeah.
Because that's what changes us. You know, it's his conviction is what changes us. And most people never get to that place because the church isn't presenting it, you know, because they don't have the Word of God. We didn't have it either. That's why all those moves and everything and the wonderful stuff never did the deep work in me that this has done.
No.
In changing, you know, getting rid of stuff that shouldn't be there. You know, there was no way what man taught was going to bring that, you know.
And where does judgment start?
Yeah, in the church. In the house.
The Bible says the judgment starts at the church of God.
Yeah.
It said if we judge ourselves, we would end up being judged. But how are you going to judge yourself unless you have the Word of God in you?
Right.
I never would have believed years ago the emphasis that I put in the Word of God. It's a life substance. It's a life source. And that's what it says. It's how does the Bible say that? In the 6th chapter of John. And a lot of the followers of Jesus left, and it says that they followed him no more. And Peter asked his disciples, he said, "Are you going to go away too?" And Peter says, "Where are we going to go?" Is that kind of what we're discovering?
Mm-hmm.
Where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. That's what this is. And I am thankful that God has given us this word. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't even recognize it, but I didn't either. But we're starting to. We're beginning to see the value of it. And that's vital.
You know, I didn't sleep very good last night, and I ended up getting up early. I was looking at YouTube, and there was I guess he would be like a song leader, whatever. But he gave a testimony first before he was going to sing this song. And I mean, it is not what you normally hear, because his oldest son was born, I think, with type 1 diabetes. So it's like he said he's had something like 37,000 shots in his life, because every time he eats, then they have to give him a shot and stuff, or whatever. And he goes, "You know what?" He said, pardon my French, but he said, "Life sucks. You know, every day isn't glorious. Some days are miserable, you know?" But the whole point was, and he was just being honest, and you know what? That's where we need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us know that, but nobody in the church wants to say that, because then you don't look perfected, or you don't look like you're righteous, or whatever. You know what? The best way to be righteous is to be honest.
Exactly.
You know? And so he shared, like, but then in the song, you know, it's like, "But I know that to you alone is where I stand. You know, I always come back to you because you're the answer, and you're the only one that can keep me." And, you know, that was the emphasis then of the song, was no matter what I feel like and what's going on, I still look to you, you know. And you're the only one that's going to give me mercy and have mercy and change anything or whatever. So it's not like because it's miserable you give up. You just keep looking to the Father and His Son, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he wasn't saying every day was bad, but, you know. But it's like every day isn't glorious like everybody likes to want to make it, you know. "Oh, you're pointing the Lord, you're glorious, you know, you're going to be flying high, you're on the mountaintop." Yeah, right.
You know, for true Christians, it's a necessity to for life to suck.
Yeah.
Because how do you have hope?
In a better life,
in,
right?
In a better, in the new world, in the next, in paradise, where there's no sadness, everything is perfect. You know, I really can't even think, how can there be no sadness? How can it be perfect? How can it be always joy? You know what I mean? But it is, you know.
Yeah.
If we had a life that with no issues, no problems, food every day, no need to work, say, I don't know. No need, I mean, why would we need hope?
Right? Good point. That's a good point.
You know. And if you think about Jesus had a miserable life, really. I mean, a miserable earthly life.
Yeah.
You know, into the eyes of outsiders. But, you know, he had hope. He had hope as well.
Sure.
You know what I mean? He was persecuted and called names and stoned and album. You know what I mean? Most people hated him. You know what I mean? That when people hate you and talk about you, that's worse than they hate you. I mean,
yeah,
it's bad news. And you know, that's why he wanted to go be alone someplace, and he couldn't go be alone.
Well, can evil live without good, or good live without evil? Because if you only have one, you don't know the other.
Right.
You know. So we have to have good days, bad days, in order to appreciate what God gives us. Because if we're always on a good day, we don't know where that good day exists and where it starts and where it stops. In my opinion, you know.
You probably wouldn't,
you know, it's
desire
well,
to find
it. That condition was there in the garden.
Yeah.
They had the opportunity. They never have known evil,
right.
But they didn't do that.
Nope.
They succumbed, and then from then on, it's exactly like you're saying.
Yeah.
you don't know the one without the other, and that's what he said, that they would have the knowledge of good and evil. Well, that wasn't the first intent of God, but then after that, but then it was don't let them have the tree of life because. Then they're going to stay stuck in the same condition, you know.
And if we had all good, would we desire to find Christ
yeah.
as our Savior?
You're right.
I probably wouldn't.
No.
Because it was through the dark times that I really sought. I got down on my hands and knees.
Yeah,
for sure.
If you're having good all your life, you don't see a reason for repenting to anything. Why would I repent? Life's good. I'm doing great, you know.
But there are a lot of people living like that right,
right.
now, thinking
yeah.
they're okay, I'm doing great, I got everything I want in this world. What more do I want? You know, what more could I ask?
They don't look beyond.
And then there's the one that have everything and can't figure out why they're not happy.
Yeah, yeah. They have everything but have nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's extremes in all of it.
I'm thankful that the Lord has done for me what he's done so that I can seek him.
Yeah.
And I will seek him. Continually.
It says in 1 Corinthians 2:9. Now, and here it says, as it is written, I never noticed that. But it's, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Now, whose eye? Nobody's eyes have ever seen? Where's it written? I don't know where it's written. I'm not familiar with any scripture that says that, but the eyes have never seen anything like it. The ears have never heard anything like it. It has never entered into the heart of man, the thing that God has prepared for them that love
him. Where is this at?
This Isaiah, or in 1 Corinthians 2:9. As it is written. Where is it written?
It must be written somewhere.
Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him.
Okay.
65:17, which is a little more abstract.
You got a different Bible.
I've got, yeah.
It says, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. That one's a little more obscure, kind of.
Yeah.
The other one is pretty much the quote that's.
Well, what has happened to me
through the constant intake of the Word of God, you know, and whatever we're doing, this has become as real as what we have anything here. What God is going to do is a reality. That's coming. I would just as soon step into that.
Well, in 1 Corinthians 3:19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He catches the wise in their own craftiness. So it is written also in verse 19.
Huh.
You know what's funny? No, reading the King James is so difficult. I'm trying to understand here, but in Isaiah 64:4, he said this word. But then if you keep reading, it goes back to we are the clay and thou art the potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. Interesting that that's still right there. And it says, it says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither has an eye seen, O God, besides thee, what he has prepared for him that waits for him, thou meetest him that rejoices and works righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art worth. For we have sinned in those is continuance, and we shall be saved. So he's talking about sinners that will be saved. Now, but we are all as unclean, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. So the righteousness is as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calls upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us, because of our iniquities. So I'm not sure if the iniquities are forgiven or not forgiven. But now, Lord, thou art the Father, we are the clay, and thou art the potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. But not rock, but anyways, we all are the work of thy hand. You know, there's nothing in us that we can do or not do or start doing.
I'm not sure where it talks about it, but he says that, you know, if the clay is defective, he can reform it. You know, is it in here in Romans, or where is it? But he works on the clay, but if it becomes defective, he can reform it, which is kind of what happens to us as we repent and we stay right with the Lord. My relationship with God has totally changed, and it's gotten to some great, wonderful place. But it's like I'm coming to the realization that whatever happens to me, God has to do it. So when it says resist the devil and he'll flee, and then draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Well, that's what God wants. He wants a relationship with him, and he's big enough to do that. But he wants us to want him. He wants us to desire him, to crave him. And I don't know if what I'm saying makes any sense, but that's what he wants. He wants me to come, and the thing that we have never realized, I never did, which is in that we can see in the last verse of the Gospel of Mark, is that Jesus, you know, it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, he wants to be in each one of us working the work God wants us to do. And it says that the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. You know, the Lord was working in me. He wants to work in me.
Well, God's got this great plan for everybody on earth here. But on the other hand, as an individual, I have to pursue Him to get that. I can't sit back and wait for Him to just throw it out. I mean, He can do that, but I can't just sit back there. Okay, Lord, here I am. Let me have it. It's not going to work. You know? You have to take that first step.
Yeah, you do.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, we do.
And continue in His
work. Right. Yeah, you can't just say, well, today I didn't, but maybe next week I'll pick it up and do it again. You know, well, then you're a Sunday morning Christian. Only.
You know, I'm kind of wondering, because of who He is, if He isn't even capable of, without you knowing it, bringing you to the place where you say you want to seek Him.
Yeah, I think so.
Absolutely.
You know?
You're right.
Definitely. I mean, you said, like, we have to make the first step. Mm-hmm. I think he's even capable of bringing you to that place without you knowing it.
Right.
You know,
but you've got to do it.
But you have to be a willing vessel.
Right.
You
know,
In the end. Have to be, but I know,
I know both of you are saying.
You know, and so many times I go, well, then how come I'm not doing it? Well,
what I pray for my children, is that He will bring them to that point.
Yeah.
And that they will make that decision. But I was reading here a warning, and it's in 1 Corinthians. It's a warning. Do not go beyond what is written. Then you will not be puffed up in being a follower of one of us over against the other.
Where's this?
Do not go beyond.
Where's that?
1 Corinthians 4:3. Now, I haven't read previous a lot or been after it, but that just stuck out to me right now. Do not go beyond what is written. You know, it's a warning.
It's interesting when we were reading earlier, it is written.
Yeah.
Don't go beyond what
it's written. Don't go beyond
what's written.
1 Corinthians 4:3?
1 Corinthians 4, 6. Oh, I'm sorry. 4:6. Now, brothers and sisters.
I should say, for 2020 vision.
No, I can see it.
What translation do you have?
The new NIV. But that just kind of stuck out all of a sudden to me, like, okay.
Yeah.
Warning. Red light. But you can see, it just don't go beyond with your decisions, I suppose. And
what were you doing?
Actually, I wonder what the total meaning of that is. How would you be going beyond what is written? Would that be like adding all the doctrines of men?
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Well, then it continues. Then you will not be puffed up in being a follower of one of us over against the other.
Yeah, that's what, you know, that's what that does. Mm-hmm. That's why there's contention all the time. Oh, they don't want to make it like there is, but between all the different denominations, you know, they're puffed up. Well, no, we have the right answer.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever, or the truth. And
well, it says in Peter that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. You know what? Every prophecy of Scripture is about some private interpretation somewhere.
people who make private interpretations and they come up with their own whatever it is, and that's where we have the mess we got.
Yeah.
Did you read verse 5?
No, I did not.
Therefore, judge nothing before the time till the Lord comes, who will both. Let me start over. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to the light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsel of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. I think I've heard of that. I don't read very good.
Yeah, try reading in King James Version.
Yeah.
When you spoke Spanish for 20 years, heard it.
Oh. He will bring light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive the praise from God. Now, brothers and sisters, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what is written. Then you will not be puffed up in being a follower of one of us over against the other. That's kind of like they're saying, read the word. Don't believe just because I say it. Go into the word itself. So you don't have to choose over one over the other. Prove it. That's just all of a sudden. Okay. You know how something is sometimes will just all of a sudden leap out at you. A lot of good mornings.
You could really, you could only see this by faith, but you could see what Peter was saying. He says that in the last days will come scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things have continued as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old. By the word of God, the heavens were of old. Hebrews 11:3. And the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. That's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Well, that's something to look forward to.
You know, that's a prophecy, obviously, and, you know, that I don't think that even Paul himself understood, because Paul thought he sees that. Right, but in a way he has to be right. But I can't imagine the world as is going a lot longer. You know what I mean? So that will probably fall apart in those days.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's true. To people say, well, I mean, scoffers. You know, where is the promise of his coming? But everyone from Adam and Eve until who knows how long, everyone is going to see all of that. And he says, I don't know if that's what you read or not, but Paul says, and I speak to you a great mystery. And blink of an eye, everything's going to happen, and then it goes, and there, you know, 1 year, is 1 day, is 10,000 years. So it's true. It was not going to be comprehended until it happens. You know what I mean? And that's something that kind of bugs me a little bit, because when I pass, if I, unless the Lord, you know, it's like, I don't want to be buried for I want to pass immediately to life, but I will in my time, in my whatever, I will.
It will be.
And I will see it. And
if you die, you will immediately be in where you want to be.
Right.
Because.
Right.
If you're dead for 1,000 years,
yeah,
you won't know that.
No.
When you wake up, you will be.
Yeah. But everyone, I believe everyone is going to be in the same boat as I am.
Yeah.
You know, from Adam and Eve until whatever.
Absolutely.
And it's gonna it's obviously hard to comprehend because, you know, we have time. We have days and nights.
We're still coming.
Right. And
but the dead aren't coming.
And we can't even ask somebody, well, what century were you born in?
But
that's
a good thing.
That won't matter.
It won't matter.
No. Because you won't have a time.
No.
You know, I just had this open to the, and it was what you started with this morning. You know, I have not seen or hear the things that guys, and then I started reading down. But God has revealed them
yes.
to us
yes.
through His Spirit.
Yes.
For the Spirit searches all things. Yes. Yeah. And then I'm going to jump. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. I forget that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't take hold of it. These things we also speak. Not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things.
You know, go ahead.
No, that's it. I mean,
yes,
we can have it.
Yes, but I want to rewind up a little bit to, and these things have been revealed to us that love them. And, but, you know, I think a revelation is not like a real picture of the things to come. I think a revelation is just faith and hope. You know,
having your confidence.
Right.
You know.
But it's not something that, oh, you know what? It's God revealed it to me. Let me tell you exactly what it's going to be. It's a revelation of faith and hope.
Let's see. The things
did
which
you read
God.
On? Explaining spiritual realities with spirit taught words. Spirit taught words. You know, it goes on to say that.
So where's you in?
14.
14? 4 years really means different.
Yeah, she's got different. You got to remember
different. But it's spirit taught words.
It says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him,
mm-hmm.
nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned, which is what you
only through the Spirit, man.
You know, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You can know the things He's prepared. And actually, we are starting to see glimpses of that.
Mm-hmm. Who has not known the mind of the Lord?
Which is kind of what you're saying. I mean, Because when you start seeing the things he's prepared, well, that increases your faith, your hope, everything, you know? Because you've just learned more about him and what he has in store for you.
So we have the mind of Christ.
Yeah, those of you who were there Tuesday night, that setting that he shared it that night, and after I sat and pondered, it really had an effect. The fact that, yeah, I have light passions, meaning I have weaknesses, you know, and whatever, just like Elijah. Doesn't mean you're lost.
No.
Doesn't mean he knows that.
He hasn't given up on you.
Yeah. He knows how to deal with that. You know, he knows how to work with you with that. So, that was a nice kind of a hope thing and kind of lifted a little guilt, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
We're slowly coming to some major realizations. It's revelation, but it's realization. Revelation. And that is, we can't do it. It requires God to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's on that premise. I mean, with that kind of being established in us, it causes us to approach God differently. Otherwise, people approach him as if they're kind of on an equal basis. They kind of know, you know, and we don't. God made us. He created us. And we're the clay. And I mean, when you see the relationship between the potter and the clay, and God uses that as an example, we're clay. And we came out of the dust of the earth. And he didn't make us equal to himself. We're not on his frequency. It requires him to bring us up to his, where he wants us. We can't do it. You can't do anything to change it except pray. That's all you can do. And allow God to do any what he wants to do. That's a revelation. And how many churchgoers understand that? Not very many. And the idea, I would pick that up from the people I really respected, the fact that, you know, well, you can pray and God will change his mind. No, God doesn't change his mind.
No way.
You know, go ahead, if anybody wants to.
No, I just said no way.
There's a scripture I love. Felicity asked me once, that was her favorite scripture, and she was going to put it on, write it down for my birthday or whatever. I'm like, okay, obviously, and you know, all the scriptures are good. But I really love the scripture, you know, it is better to trust in God than to put your confidence in man. Oh, I just love that. But I love it as a goal more than as a where I am right now. I just really, that's my, you know, I really want to be where I can fully trust God and not need man's opinions and man's help and man's, I want my brother's help, you know, I want my brother's opinions, I want my brother's love, but other than that, a true brother, I really want to just have all my trust in God and put my confidence in man. And, you know, Felicity, she's a little sick, whatever, pneumonia. Everybody's got pneumonia these days.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been super close to give her antibiotics or whatever. And that's just a little thing. It's an antibiotic, whatever. But am I who I say I am? You know what I mean?
Am I going to trust in God or am I going to trust in man? I don't want to be like dogmatic and super legalistic, but I need to put into practice what I think. I don't want to have to trust. Well, that's not really what I want to say. What I was after, for myself, I want to completely rely on God, even if things don't work out the way I want it to work out. I need to trust in God. I was telling you guys a couple of weeks ago, I don't want to suffer, ever. I'm just the chicken. And Candy said, Candy, sometimes, whatever, sometimes she can really, God can really speak to her. And she said, for example, look at my mom, she said, she had, Joanne, not my mom, and she's like, she and her body was falling apart. Anyone else would be screaming in pain, agony, and whatever, and if you talk to her, she was under the weather. So I said, she quoted the scripture. She said, I can walk through fire, but it's going to be like nothing. And she, with Joanne, for example, that's what, she didn't suffer. We suffer more looking at her more than she suffered being how she was. And that's the fruit of trusting in God more than trusting in man. I said, Joanne, you want to go to a doctor? She said, what for? Remember we asked her? I'm not sick.
Yeah.
What are the doctors going to do? And I want to be there always. I want to, if I look like I'm wounded, I want to feel wounded. And there's a scripture here. And I don't know, we were talking about this earlier, and then it came, so it's not related to what I was just saying. But nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth. That's what we look at. That's the target. The new heaven. Not this. The whole world is trying to fix the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's so homeless. It's impossible. New heavens.
And then what?
Right.
Yeah.
And a new earth. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. On account of that, the last suffering of the Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all the epistles, speaking in them of those things in which are some things hard to be understood. Now this is John speaking. Some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. Rest as in WRDST.
Wrestle.
Huh?
It means wrestle.
Right. As they do also other scriptures unto their own destruction.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I don't know about the rest of you, but I am really overly concerned about climate change.
I can tell. Laugh in their faces every time they bring that up.
I want to read a couple of scriptures, which I've done frequently here, but in the third chapter of Philippians, Paul, you would think Paul had it made with him. But Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I really haven't done it yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before me, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then the next sentence, he says, let us therefore
as many as be perfect. See, he's not perfect. He didn't apprehend, he hadn't apprehended it. He's calling himself perfect, but let us, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Mm-hmm. Perfection is being thus minded, pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high mm-hmm. calling in God through Christ.
That's what I've been saying the last few weeks, that we look at Paul and everybody that wrote the Bible as this perfect guys. And they're not. They have good understanding, and they were inspired by God to write the Bible. But they were goofy here and there.
That's why the other night, Tuesday night, we're talking about Elijah, a man of like passions. He's just like us. We think, oh, that great Elijah called down fire from heaven. And then he got afraid of Jezebel and ran for his life.
So, kind of the fact is then that if you're seeking perfection, you are walking in perfection.
Yeah, I would say that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yes. Yeah. If that's what you want.
Yeah.
That's where you're at.
That's what it sounds like now that I
yes,
heard
does.
That again when you read it.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. As many as be perfect, be less blinded. They're pressing towards the
high
calling.
Yeah. You know, there's certain things that you should avoid, though. I mean, like,
yeah.
You know, in life actions, whatever. But, for example, this is at the end of the first book of John, says, there is sin unto death, which I would say suggests sin not unto death. You know, like, there is sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is sin not unto them. You know, we know whoever is born of God, that's not sin. But, you know, there's, I suppose, sin, like, there's like okay sin and not okay sin, I suppose.
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, if, like, murder is murder. You know what I mean? Like, Paul was delivered of that because obviously that's what. I don't think that when Paul says, you know, there's things that I hate that I don't want to do, I don't think he was talking about murder. Anymore, you know, it's no way. So there's things that are gonna just not, you're gonna lose eternal life if you keep living those sins. But other, you know what? I don't want to say things that could be goofy, but a lot of sins are forgivable. Some are not. Some you shouldn't.
That's
keep doing
the Holy Spirit. I think it's one, isn't it?
Yeah, blaspheme the Holy Spirit.
I'm getting so I'm not sure which ones are
right.
Beyond help and which ones aren't.
Right.
Here's David, who's a man after God's own heart. That's God calls him that. Who Jesus is going to sit on that throne forever. Here's David, who has a soldier that had total confidence in him as a king. He puts him out in the front line so he'll get killed, so David can have his wife. And from that wife comes Solomon, who is in the lineage.
Yeah.
It makes absolutely no sense.
That's God.
But it's almost, but it's kind of like God will do what God will do that God wants to do, and
no matter what.
Don't argue with him and get out of his way.
You know, a scripture, you know, God has mercy on whom he will have mercy. But there's also this other scripture that says, you know, be merciful and you will obtain mercy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? However, God will make you have mercy. You know what I mean? So no matter how you look at it. Say, I gotta go to a birthday party. Anyways, I need prayer for, like, my back. I know my concern is like, well, it's just my back, or it would have something growing in there. But what it is, you know, Candy, I mean, she's like, Pablo says, God has answered all your prayers. You have something with your leg, you pray about it, and it's gone. And you got something with your other thing, God takes care of it. Because only God can fix it. You know, then. He's like, you know, you have a who knows what else. And she named all kinds of stuff.
I said, and God took care of it. He said, but this is one thing that you can do something about. He says, you need to take care of your health, because God can fix broken bones, let's say, or God can fix scars, and God can do whatever I mean, but there's something that I can put effort into, which is taking care of my health. I mean, I'm 43, for you guys as a baby.
Yes.
I'm 43, but I'm also 305 pounds. So I can't be like, you also need to take care. Now you can pray, but you need to put effort into taking care of your health, and, you know, pray about it. And through this whole thing, there's a spirit in me, it travels, like my body is a highway of some sort. And it leaves the one exit, takes the other exit. And I don't know, like, whatever, you know. But I just need prayer. And
sounds almost like the devil's attacking.
It is, and it's been for a while, you know. And it's what it, all these issues that I have, it keeps me from being who I want to be, like with my mood. And, you know, I want to be happy to other people. And I am. But it's just a red flag. And then it affects Candy, because she sees me with this. She can tell it immediately. She said, Papa, what's wrong? I'm like, how do you know there's something wrong? Because she can see it. She knows. And anyways. And then Candy said to me, which is, and I didn't tell her that it made me happy, because then it's going to mess things up. And she said, no problem. And she says, I really like going and praying with you, she said. I'm like, oh my God, that's like music to my ears, you know, that she really wants to go. But I don't want to, like, exalt her, you know. I have responded positively, but I don't want the devil to attack that. Anyways, either way, that was awesome. I mean, I really want to go pray. I like going praying with you. It just, God makes her happy. So that's a good thing, you know. Anyways, I ask you guys if you can pray for my infirmity. You know, should I turn this thing off?
Yeah.
It looks like you've recorded 1 hour and 12 minutes, so just stop.